What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Evolve Your Brand podcast. And I've got with us today a special guest. His name is Roman, or Rome, the Chief Za, who is a guide and a mentor who helps high performers heal. Rome, thank you so much for coming onto my space, and I'm excited to introduce you to some of the people in my network. And I guess my first question to you is, why high performers?
A little bit of my backstory is I started in the fitness space. Then I was in the martial arts space. I was a martial arts competitor. Then I had martial arts businesses. From there, I started a few supplement companies. Started a nonprofit, then sold the supplement companies, gave away in the nonprofit. So I've been around high level athletes and high level entrepreneurs and high level like special forces operators for as long as I can remember. That's the niche of humans, if we're talking business, that I resonate with. One, because I am that. But two, because I truly understand the opposite of the glitz and the glamour of what comes with that specific hat that people wear. For the most part, becoming a high performer is a trauma response in some way, shape, or form, trying to prove to the world that you are good enough. And the bigger the chip on the shoulder, the bigger the success to the outer world. So
it's so interesting you just said a trauma response, because during our immersion, and I run these 3-day weekend retreats, I've done it in Medellin, Colombia, Mexico City, and now Sayulita, Mexico. We were talking this weekend with one of our guests who's a psychologist about how everything in life is just a reaction to our trauma, and you said trauma response. So why is it that we carry trauma with us through our life and we're not able to let it go easily?
All right. So I'm going to give you like a bigger picture, mm-hmm. and then we'll dive into, I'm going to draw you a picture. So you're out in the ocean, you're swimming in the ocean and on a boat, but you're like, fuck, man. Like, I feel like I'm in the same place I was in last year. I know more words. I got a nicer outfit. Maybe I got more money in the bank, but it just feels like I'm in the same place. And I drive by in a super yacht, because in this picture, I like to have a super yacht. And I'm like, Dave, you need to do this. And you're like, well, what do you mean? You're like, I feel like I'm stuck in the same place. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, it's because you don't have a sail and you don't have an engine. Mm. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, I'm in a boat. Like, I'm supposed to have a sail. I'm like, you don't have a sail. I can see it from the outside. You don't have a sail. You're staying in the same place. You don't have an engine. You're just going wherever the fucking the ocean takes you. What is that? That's your nervous system. Once your nervous system is dysfunctional, you just don't have the engine to move forward on your own. You got to heal that. Part two, I drive by a year later, let's say 6 months later, you healed your nervous system. You're moving back and forth. You're making some decisions. You're responding. You're not overreacting or underreacting. And that's what happens with a lot of entrepreneurs, right? Ads fail. What do? They overreact or they don't react at all. Why? Well, that's a trauma response. They're scared of whatever the next thing is going to be, right? Nervous system heals. You can move from that. Part two is I drive by and I'm like, Dave, and you're starting to figure it out yourself, because you're like, you know, I feel like I'm wasting too much energy getting going. I feel like I'm starting and I'm stopping and I'm starting and I'm stopping and I'm moving. I'm for sure moving compared to where I was before, but I know I can do better. There's something, maybe not faster, but better. Like the craftsmanship isn't there. And I'm like, oh, Dave, I know you can't see it from the inside of your boat. And I know your boat's sagging a little bit, but you have holes on the outside of your boat. You got to plug those holes, but you can only see them from the outside, because on the inside where those holes are, there's already water. So you can't see it. And that's the toxins inside of our bodies. Heavy metals, parasites, parabens. I mean, fuck, there's so much.
I literally just went through that analogy that you shared with us today. It was the second time in under 40 days that I had a stomach virus from Mexico City. Three times it's happened in the past 6 months. Nowhere else, just from there. And I love the city, so I got nothing against it. But when this happened the second time and I got the E. coli, my nervous system really broke down. And for a few days, I was having nightmares. I was starting to take antibiotics, and I needed to heal my nervous system before I could even get out and start talking to people again. And then when I did that, it was like, oh, I got to relearn this. You know, I got to get out and communicate. And I've been in my little bubble, in my little shell. Sometimes when we've been off doing our thing and working with high performers and scaling businesses, we forget what it's like to be that person that's going through the struggle. We forget what it's like to be that person who's starting their business for the first time or going to approach a girl for the first time. And the nervous system is not quite there yet to be able to handle such trauma. And you talked to me about it the first time we spoke, where you said, when you're building a company, you take on a lot of wounds. And I know over the past 3 years, building up my online identity, persona, personal brand, and the people that I've connected with, the falling outs, the deep connections, there have been some wounds, some pain there. And so what would you say to an entrepreneur, to someone that's fighting, someone that is a winner, that wants to create a sustainable way to interact with their trauma and with their nervous system?
So first things first is you have to repattern your nervous system. I'm literally in the middle of a launch right now for helping people repattern their nervous system. It's a 101 course. So it's like, it's introductory and anybody can get in, but there's a lot of paradigm shifts that happen through that. And it gives you like very specific practices to follow in order to do it. The breath is one of them, but we're a lot of breathwork practitioners. And I've practiced with most of the major breathwork gurus in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And where most of them get it wrong is they don't focus on very specific biomechanical elements of the breath. They tell you to breathe, but they don't tell you how and why this specific way is going to heal this specific, let's say, dysfunction. From there, like I said, like once you do that, once you detox the body, because like for sure E. coli, but possibly also parasites. Parasites are very hard to fucking see because they do a stool test for parasites. If you go to a naturopath, problem is with the stool test, this is a big problem. They can only see 12 different types of parasites. Humans are exposed to over 1,000. That's one. But two, parasites don't come out by themselves. They're fucking, they're intelligent creatures. They're literally a symbiotic creature connected to you. You have to either knock them out or kill them. And then they let out toxins where you can actually die from them dying. So you have to like bind those toxins and get them out. It's a huge problem in today's world that people aren't talking about because it's gross and people are fucking pussies. So they're just like, I don't want to talk about it because it's disgusting. But it's like, all right, well, just keep being fucking sick then.
Well, that's why you're here today. So we can have a conversation that maybe a lot of people aren't having. And I think that a lot of men especially are scared to have difficult conversations. They're scared to be honest. They're scared to be vulnerable, to create confrontation. I know to end our immersion, we had this crazy experience of duality, of polarities, where we had just been through this incredible high vibrational state, this flow state where everything happened for a reason. The people that we came into, the, you know, spiritual style that we incorporated, the events, everything was so aligned. And then when we finished the event, we went to go change our clothes in one of the participants' friends' home. And the guy was former military, completely closed off to the world. Actually sent the guy a message after saying, why did you bring other people here? That's not allowed, you know? And we were talking about this last time as well, Rome, that men take too long to make the necessary changes in their life, to confront difficult situations with their family, with their friends, with their society, but even more importantly, with themselves. So was there a moment where you decided to make a change? And why is it that you think men are taking so long?
There's a lot of societal viruses that impregnate the masculine mind to believe the opposite, right? Like 1984's doublespeak. Mm-hmm. They believe that strength is just gritting down and just getting through it by yourself, which can totally be an element of strength. They believe that vulnerability is weakness. They believe that true power is possibly manipulating the situation versus actually like making a responsible choice for your life instead of putting on a front of what other people should think. If you need to cry, cry. If you need to communicate, communicate. If you need to reach out for help, reach out for help. But today's society, I mean, think about all the messages that men get. There's so many mixed messages. Boys don't cry. Men are supposed to be fucking providers.
Everyone's a winner. Everyone's a winner.
Yeah, everyone's a winner. And all right, fuck it. Let's just look at like the basics of like where society's at, right? Where do most men spend their time with other men? Either at the fucking bar or on Sundays watching football, basketball, or some other dumb fucking sport that has absolutely no relevance in their life. Why are you sucking LeBron James's dick if you're 100 pounds overweight and you haven't gotten your dick up in 6 months? And your business, you don't have a business. You're a slave to somebody else's fucking job. Why are you arguing who the best basketball player is? It's like that scene in Bronx Tale. I don't know if you've ever seen Bronx Tale.
No, tell me about it.
There's a scene and there's a young boy. His name is Calogero, and he lives next door to the Italian mob in the Bronx. And the owner calls him in and the kid's wearing a Yankee cap. And the kid starts telling him about Mickey Mantle, I believe. And the guy's like, who the fuck cares about Mickey Mantle? You think Mickey Mantle cares about you? You think if your dad couldn't pay rent tomorrow, Mickey Mantle will pay your fucking rent? Fuck Mickey Mantle. Fuck Mickey Mantle. Fuck LeBron James. Fuck all these like celebrity fucking like distractions. The reason why you're fat, poor, unhappy, unsexed, unconnected, disconnected from yourself and others and your community is because you're fucking worshiping people, period, but also if you add something else on there, period, that are not worthy of your worship. They are entertainers, and their entertainment is there to distract you from your real fucking problems. That's the biggest problems in men's lives these days, is because they can run away to porn, they can run away to TV, Netflix, sports, drinking, all this stupid shit, and not have to deal with their fucking problems until it's too late.
And the one that you left out was social media. And that's the one
that goes without saying.
That's the one that brought us together. The reason why we were able to connect and to have this podcast. And yet, before we left off last time, you said to me, there is some freedom that you give up in your time, in your energy, in your money, when you decide to go all in on social media. And this is something that 100%. A lot of people don't talk about. They don't think about the fact that, yeah, maybe that app that you downloaded was free, but your time isn't. And the ads are not as well. And as I become a business owner online, I started to realize that these websites, Facebook and Instagram, these apps, they're pay to play. So if you think that you can just be a small creator and grow quickly, without spending a ridiculous amount of time on the app can be very difficult. So what's your opinion in 2023 of social media and being someone that is creating content and sharing your opinion with others in the online space?
It's learning how to use it and not let it use you. Creating limitations. I mean, this stuff is engineered. First of all, it's engineered with a very evil purpose in terms of you. If you think it's free, then you're the fucking product. So the reality is, like, you're the product. If you're the user, you're the product. All your information is being sold at every second, especially like if you've run ads before, you understand like how intricate that psychology is in terms of like what we're given access to as people that are advertising on the platform. Like, you know everything about fucking humans. And yeah, setting boundaries. I mean, if you need to use like apps, but realistically, it's like taking time off every week, taking a day off every month, taking 2 days off every quarter, taking a week off, and like really taking time off to be with yourself. To be with yourself, to be in meditation, to be out in nature, to take time off every day to be out in nature, but like full on 24/7 days, weeks, periods of like disconnect, because it's not real. That shit is not the real world. On top of your attention, it drains energy. If you've taken days off, if you've taken weeks off, you can definitely tell a difference with how you feel, how much energy you have, how productive you are in your life and doing the things that you said you're going to do versus.
I spent so much time creating this weekend and experiences. I did have my phone in my hand filming videos sometimes, but so little time consuming. And to come back into Monday and, you know, there's the process of editing videos and responding to messages and checking email and paying off bank accounts and things like this. And it's like I'm starting to feel it, start to get sucked in a little bit. And I don't know if you've heard of the high performance habits that are like, don't check your phone in the morning, or, you know, set that limit where you don't check your phone after X PM at night. For a lot of people, that is very, very difficult, if not impossible. If you have kids or you've got a family, that might not be possible. And so what you said about creating the intentionality behind a day, every week, every other week, every month, where you go out into nature and maybe you leave your phone in the car, maybe you leave your phone at home. Maybe you have a
Just bring your gun.
If you're in America, I'm in Mexico right now. I don't think that's possible, brother. But you know, it's like you can create ways to realign your nervous system and not let the social media consume and control you. And as two guys who are on Instagram, who connected that way, who are creating content, we know what you're probably going through if you're a high-performing coach or consultant online. It's tough. A lot of the time, you start comparing yourselves to others because all you see for 8 hours every day is what other people are doing on social media. And then you've got a little bit of time where you press post or whether you do a few calls, and it's drowned out by everyone else's voices. And so to get back into touch with Mother Nature's voice and with the universe voice, which is really your true authentic self speaking to you from the depths of your intuition and allowing yourself to be guided by not only what others think and feel, but actually where you truly need to go. And it's so empowering. It's so beautiful. And so you were telling me last time that you're setting up a retreat center in Wyoming. So what's the goal with your coaching and what's the vision?
Having people come down to my monastery or ashram or retreat center, whatever you want to call it, 30, 60, 90 days, up to a year, if not more, and like totally reset, like totally rebuild, re-engineer, reevaluate their whole being, their body, their heart, their mind, their spirit, their finances, understanding how to automate things in ways where it doesn't require their time, where they're able to leverage who they are and get paid for it. And I mean, most of the people that are going to come down, realistically, they don't care about money anymore. So that's another conversation. But it's teaching people these practices that have been practiced for thousands of years, but have been altered now by me to work better with the modern world. Because I don't believe ancient yogis had the dysfunctions that we have in today's society. I don't believe they had the distractions. I don't believe they had the electromagnetic frequency. I don't believe that they had the toxins that are floating around in today's day and age. And I believe that they had better tools in their youth for the children to be able to resolve the trauma better than our kids do today. Because what it shows is that the nervous system starts to change at around the age of 5.5 years old. And it's pretty much downhill from there, because there's no class on how to breathe functionally or how to deal with some sort of trauma, internal trauma. We don't deal with anything that we can't see in today's day and age, right? So what are the biggest things that are killing humans in today's day and age? Electromagnetic frequencies, mold. You can't see either one. Closed head brain trauma. You're seeing the results of that in these football players that are just like, they have tens, 20s, and millions of dollars, and they're making retarded decisions that don't make sense. Why is OJ Simpson stealing his own memorabilia back? The same reason why he didn't kill his ex-wife, right? So it's brain damage, but because you can't see it, we don't deal with it. And it's the same thing with the nervous system dysfunction. It's the same thing with a lot of things that are invisible, but are so important. They look like small hinges, but they're enormous. And when we learn these, when we integrate these tools, when we learn these tools, when we implement these tools, when we practice these tools, it's transformational. So when people come down for a week, I see massive results. When I see people come down for 3 months, I see massive results. But I imagine like what it looks like, because like all the ancient cultures had monasteries to retreat to when things got rough. Nobody went to the monastery because things were great in their fucking life. Fact. Like they weren't like, you know what? Everything's fucking awesome. I'm going to go fucking live in a monastery and plant stuff and work on the land and meditate for hours on end and practice Kung Fu. But people don't have that in today's day and age. Like, where do you retreat to as a man or a woman? Where do you retreat to when things get rough? Like, do you have somebody that can catch you and put you back on your feet, clean you up, and then put you back out into the world as a new human? And that's my intentionality behind it all. I love watching humans blossom, especially the ones that are like cactus.
Most people retreat to their family, to their friends, to alcohol, to weed, to cigarettes. They retreat to what they already know, what's familiar. And when I did that, it got me down to a road of depression and almost suicidal thoughts. And it was only by doing something like what you just were talking about and getting out into nature, learning about sustainability, living in community, starting to eat a very clean and healthy diet and open up vulnerably to the point of tears that were uncomfortable as a guy growing up in America, that wasn't a normal thing, that I started to really shift and change my identity. And that was about 10 years ago. Now, I know you got to run soon. I do as well. So I wanted to touch on one more thing before we finish up. And you just mentioned it. You said some of the people that you work with, they get to a place where they don't even care about money. And I would venture to guess that if someone is watching this, they probably care a lot about money and they're probably not making a lot of it. And so why do you think that people are stuck financially, coaches, consultants, even doctors and lawyers and accountants? Why do you think people get stuck financially? And what does it take to get to that place where you don't even care about the money anymore?
Well, let's start with the end. It takes having resources and money to not care about the money anymore. Right? Like when you have like your nut, whatever it is, and you're like, I don't have to do shit for 5 years. I can actually do things that I enjoy. That's what happens. Or 100 years or 1,000 years. I have clients that have money for thousands of years, probably. And it just wouldn't, like, nothing changes. But how did they get to that point? Well, I believe that a lot of people are in the scarcity dilemma, almost, to say. It's because a lot of the trauma, right? I mean, think about it. Like, a lot of them they can't ask because their throat chakra is closed, because they don't feel like they're good enough, or they're a bad person, or what they bring isn't valuable to the world. So they can't ask. That's connected to their sexual chakra, right? Like their second chakra, which is they believe that they're unworthy to ask, or they're undeserving to receive. So even if they do start crushing, they'll figure out a way to self-sabotage. That's a big one, right? You start making money, you have no money. Where the fuck did my money go, right? Like, it just fucking disappeared, right? It's a self-sabotage, right? Because they haven't worked out. They haven't done the real work. The real work isn't taking your demographic or your psychographics. It's not running ads. It's not building a funnel. The real work is first and foremost, becoming a valuable human to yourself and to those around you. That's the real fucking work. Healing yourself where you're not bleeding all over everybody. Ooh. That's the real work. Because these wounds, they're invisible. So when you're talking to people, you're bleeding on them. Of course, they're going to say no. People don't even understand what you're saying. They understand how you make them feel. So if you make them feel like shit, it's because you feel like shit. And if you feel like shit, there's no way they're going to part with their hard-earned money. So that's one of the aspects of it. But we can break it down into all the major 7 or 8 traumas. And like it goes deep, deep, deep into those areas. If you don't believe that you're worthy or good enough, you're never going to create anything worthwhile. You're never going to create anything that's inherently good for society. Why? Because, well, you don't believe that you can. And it starts with the belief. Like anything that's ever been created in the modern world or even in the ancient world started with an idea, started with a belief, went into an idea, went into a plan, and then you got into action. That's the seeds. That's the seeds that need to be planted, and that's the weeds that need to be pulled out. The weeds of not believing in yourself, not loving yourself, hanging around, retreating back to your family where you got those fucking wounds, retreating back to those old fucking degenerate friends that you had. All love to those people, but you can love them from afar.
Yeah.
Like you got into that situation because of your environment. So, I mean, in growing up in New York, we had the saying crabs in a barrel. I don't know if you guys had that elsewhere. So if you look at crabs in a barrel, when one crab is climbing out, the other ones are just pulling them back in. And I mean, there's other sayings. There's like, no one was ever revered as a wise man in his hometown. Like Jesus wasn't even revered as a wise man in his hometown.
He was persecuted.
Leave. Exactly. He had to fucking leave to become like who he's supposed to be. And it's not just what you do. It's who you be. It's how you show up in your beingness in this world is your value that you bring. It's not what you know. Nobody gives a fuck. We have chat GTP or whatever the fuck, all this AI.
Yeah.
Shit, like it knows just as much as you do. No, it's not what you know.
Oh, it knows a lot more than you. You ask that thing a question in a matter of a few seconds, it writes your ebook. You've got a new graphic design. Literally, in my brotherhood, we were talking about this, and a lot of jobs are going to get replaced, even salespeople.
100%.
Okay. So,
100%. Copywriters, salespeople.
Someone said to me the other day, they said, you know, I want to pursue my coaching, but I think I should just stay in the job in the grocery store, because at least it's safe. You know, if I try to get a sales job, that's not safe. If I try to do something in lead generation or coaching, it's not safe. It's not stable. And it's like, well, if you're living in that mindset, your desire for scarcity and safety will overmatch your desire to be great, to be unique, and to fulfill your potential in life. Hey, Rome, it's been an incredible conversation. So great to connect with you. And I love the way that we talked about some kind of, you know, higher level topics to start the conversation. But in the end there, you really brought it down to the foundations of love, of self-worth. And we talked about getting into nature. Guys, if you really resonated with Rome and you feel some call to go and work with him in Wyoming or hear more about what he does, Rome, where's the best place that they can reach out to you? And do you have any other call to action that you'd like to share?
Right now, it's my Instagram, my breathwork and nervous system 101 funnel is being created right now by my team. I have a few books in editing right now. They can read some of my books that I've wrote before. Mm-hmm. They can go on Amazon. They can just type in Rome Zah. One is called Awaken the Warrior Within. One is called Bare Hearted. It's a book. It's a poetry book that I wrote when I was healing from my divorce. Mm-hmm. Awaken the Warrior Within, I wrote in the jungle when I was living in Peru.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they can just reach out when I have something available. It's going to be offered up.
And your final thoughts for today?
My final thoughts, you are not what you say you are. You are not what you think you are. You are more and better than you can ever imagine. You are everything that's ever been, everything that will ever be. Yet, you are the only thing that's keeping you from being that greatness. And if you keep playing this game the way that all of those people that came before you and around you are playing this game, you will never enjoy this game. You have to build your own game. And your own game will be unique to you and what you enjoy. So stop measuring yourself on other people's accomplishments. Stop measuring yourselves on what you think that other people are doing. Find what makes you happy. Really go all in on it. When you do that, you can't fail. You can't fail. And also learn sales and marketing. Don't fuck around. So then you could sell that thing that you're really good at. Very simple.
I can't top that off. You guys know where to find me, at Dave Goldievov on social media. And we'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.